Well, we're reading Rowan Williams' book on being Christian for those of us that are in the cat class. And one of the images that Rowan Williams brings to our mind is the image of the Eastern Orthodox baptism of Christ. When you look at the Eastern Orthodox icon for the baptism of Christ, what you see is Christ's head barely sticking out of the water, and from the neck down, sort of fighting the sea underneath him. You see waves and currents going through in what looks like a little bit turbulent waters. And you see at the bottom, the old Roman and Greek gods of the sea creating havoc at the very bottom of the painting. All the while, Jesus is trying to keep his head above water. And I have to admit, this week I felt a little bit like that. And I want to apologize in advance because I feel like this whole sermon feels a little bit like half-baked, half-brewed ideas of chaos sort of rumbling under the water. Struggling for air and trying to keep everything in check. We did come from this creative chaos of water. We all know that in the beginning, when the earth was formless, it was void and chaotic and dark water, and the breath of God swept over the waters and called light into being. The reading from Genesis today reminds us that waters are places of destruction and chaos. That though they are salvific waters, they are also places in which every living creature and everything around can be taken out. Like a mighty flood or powerful tsunami or the raging Cumberland Falls that we have right now, water contains the power of death and destruction within it. This week I spent a lot of time feeling like I was under the water in powers of death and destruction. Maybe it was all the rain that we have had. But I think it was more than that. I think for me, it was yet again another shooting in our nation, yet again another school, yet again more students, this time at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. To me, yet again, it felt dark and dangerous and chaotic, and like myself and everyone around me was just scrambling to keep their head above water. This one got me. I don't know why it got me the way that it did. It hit me more than the others. I think it's perhaps because I have friends who minister in Boca Raton, and when I saw Parkland, Florida on the map, I thought, that looks really close to Boca Raton. And when I looked it up, I realized that it's 13 miles away. And I thought about my friends who are priests in a relatively large church there and thought how it's very possible that they have people that commute 13 miles to come to church. It's very possible that they have parishioners who were at that high school. I think it hit me because I could see myself ministering to that community and asking myself not a question of how, but when something like that is going to affect someone in our pews. Perhaps it was because I spent all weekend with my nephews, and instead of being joyful, there was this voice inside my head thinking about how my nephews were going to go to school in a place in which they were taught how to wear their backpacks on the front of their chest in order to keep safe. Or perhaps it was because I could not get the image out of my head of the grieving mother in Parkland, Florida, who showed up to school with ashes on her forehead. The exact same mark that I myself had received twice that day. The exact same words that I had heard with her. You are but dust, and to dust you shall return. I don't know why, but all of these things made me feel like I was swimming in the waters of chaos. Maybe it's because this Lent I've sort of made a promise to myself to journey into the depths of my own chaos. And so instead of brushing things off and watching Netflix or doing something mindless, I forced myself to journal and think and pray and lament about them. For those of you all who were here on Ash Wednesday, you heard me set up Lent as a journey to Jerusalem and to the cross and to ultimately our resurrection. For those of you all that were here, you heard me describe that packing for Lent is really no different than packing for anything else that we do. We put away things which do not serve us, like we put away trash, or like we clean up our house before leaving for a long road trip, or how we turn our TVs off or our electronics before we leave to travel, or how we might turn our water system off before we leave home. To get ready for Lent is to pack like that, to pack up things like pride, hypocrisy, chocolate, or Facebook, or anything which does not serve us. We put those things away, and then we get out all the things that we're going to need for our journey. So we dust off journals and crayons and Bible studies and Lenten devotionals from the backs of our closet, and we pack time, and we pack prayers, and we pack the things that we need to become closer to God. And then I said, after all that, we put on our traveling clothes, which are not sparkling and dazzling, but the clothes of sackcloth and ashes. And we walk into the world and into our hearts to seek repentance in our traveling clothes. So out of all the promises I've made to myself this Lent, I've promised to walk into the world with my traveling clothes of repentance. So this week, when we had yet another shooting, it caused myself to look inwardly and see what was going on with me. I said deep, full prayers of lament for our country. I prayed several times, God, have you abandoned us? But instead of going to Netflix, I had to go to my journal and deal, to go to scripture and deal. I don't know why it struck me this week, but so many people had different answers for things. We all have answers and questions about what really is the problem. People say, are guns the problem? Well, yes. Are mental illness the problem? Yes. Is the inability of us to civilly listen to each other a problem? Yes. Is bullying in schools a problem? Yes. Is government gridlock a problem? Yes. Is the destruction of a Christian nation that never really existed to begin with a problem? Yes. But I was kind of struck this time around by the dialogue within myself and those around me that there was really a call to personal action. The process really moved less from finger pointing of who's doing what, right, or wrong, to am I befriending that weird kid at school, or did I personally talk with my senator, or am I spending time in prayer? Am I checking in with my own mental health or those around me who feel mentally ill? Am I allowing my children to play violent video games? How are my parenting practices reflecting what's going on in our nation? And as I reflected on all these things and about what I was doing and what I could do and what my repentance looked like, I came back to the question over and over again. And the question I kept asking myself was this: what gun do I own? Now, you all know me. You know that I don't own guns. Some of you do. We disagree with that. That's okay. However, guns for me have become the symbolic issue, which is, it's the thing we always choose over the good of the people around us. Guns to me have become that thing in our country which we fight to protect as a material possession, a possession that could harm others. But we fight for our own right, a right that I think is selfish to own them. And while I do not own a gun, there are other things that I do, which certainly cause me to put my needs over the needs of others. Selfish decisions that I make every day that could hurt someone around me. Every time I've chosen to own something which caused someone else to suffer, or any time I have chosen something for myself that has got not good for my neighbor, I've put a metaphorical gun in my hand. Which calls us all to repent, myself and all of us, of all of those things we just repented in the Decalogue. It causes us all to repent of when we put things over God that are not God, when we create false idols, when we murder unintentionally, when we create false witness or covet or commit adultery, all those things which we just prayed for. It causes us all to pray during the season of Lent, that collect for today that said, Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let us find you mighty to save. We all have stuff. We all have stuff that we need to admit and repent of to help us be in better relationship with our neighbor and with God. This Lent, I think part of our journey is to be able to go there. To be able to go there and look at that darkness. To be able to go and sit in that chaotic water of stew that's in our own lives. And to see what needs help beyond our neck. To look inwardly and deeply at our own selves. I think about those little gods that are in the bottom of that chaotic image of the Eastern Orthodox. Christ, where Christ during his baptism has these little things at his feet that are stirring up the water and creating all kinds of havoc. But I also think about how in that image, the whole image is Jesus willing to go into the depths with us. Jesus willing to come down from heaven, to go into our sin, to be buried in that water with us, to be up to his neck and stuff that he doesn't know how to take care of. And this is the promise of God that I've leaned on this week. That though it feels like I'm up to my neck and though it feels like the waters are raging around us, there is no place that we can go that God has not already been. God came to sit in that water and that murk with us. God came to breathe peace into that water, to calm the storm. God came to create life out of the chaos of destruction that was that dark sea in the beginning. God came to give us the baptismal waters, to come with us and to help us on our journey, to breathe peace to us, to triumph over evil, to still the waters of grace. I took great solace in the promise of God this week that God is already with us, that God already came to be with us, that God will continue to be with us. Reminds me of Psalm 139 where God gives us those great words of, where can I go to flee from your presence? And then list all those places. If I go to heaven, you are there, or Sheol, you are there. There's no place, darkness, or light, or the depths of the sea where I can go that you've not already been. It reminds us that even we're in depth and murk and grossness, that God is still there with us, for God came down. This week, while all this was going on and my head felt like a big bunch of murkiness, Cassandra sent me her last station. Some of y'all remember the modern stations that we had last year during Holy Week that depict Jesus not in his traditional 33 AD pictures, but in places in our society that is suffering with Jesus walking through with the cross. When she emailed me the station, which is of Charlottesville, and Jesus walking through the wreckage of Charlottesville with the cross, I mentioned to her that I cannot see images in our news cycle now without seeing Jesus walk through with the cross. And so when I saw the picture of the woman whose ashes looked like mine and related with her, I saw Jesus walking with the cross with her through that scene with all the pain and the suffering. Because no matter what happens in the chaos of our lives, Jesus has already been there. Jesus is already here. Jesus has already come. There is no place which we can go the depths of our suffering to which Jesus Christ has not already been for us. There is no place that we can go in which God is not already walking with us. And through our baptism, we have been cleansed and washed and freed. So let us lift each other up to remember that we have been washed and to remember that God always comes with us in times of grief, in times of struggle, in times of deep prayer and lament. God is always with us, walking with us, journeying with us, going into the water with us.